Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Ozzy Osbourne doing
both. Yeah, first of all, we had My Winona leading into the show.
Is this, yeah, don't pay for it, My Sharona. Yeah. Is this Ozzy Osbourne doing
that
David Bowie?
That was a cut of Ozzy Osbourne, but it's an Eminem song.
Oh, wow. Jeez, I should know that. I used to love Eminem back when Eminem was worth listening to. There, I said it.
Relapse, refill, that was where we stopped.
Refill, waiting in line at CVS.
Yeah, that's where we stopped.
Eminem presents Long Line at the Pharmacy.
Yeah.
Eminem is, all things considered, my favorite MC ever.
Yeah.
Second is Aesop Rock, but that's neither here nor there. Not Aesop Rocky.
Okay, that was what I was going to say. Are they not the same thing?
They are not the same. Aesop Rock has been around way longer.
What's Aesop Rocky?
Aesop Rocky is part of a group where they're all like Aesop something.
They're all trees?
Yeah. They're all tree sap Rocky. They're boxers, but they're very sticky.
Okay.
If I understand this correctly, because I am just turned a million years old, ASAP Rocky is part of a group in which everyone is ASAP something.
Okay.
I believe that's how that goes.
There better be an ASAP Bowwinkle.
But ASAP, right. Yeah, ASAP Flying Squirrel. It's something like that.
ASAP Moose and Squirrel.
But ASAP Rock, okay, like Aesop's Fables.
Yeah.
Aesop Rock.
Do they rap about Aesop's Fables?
He's a one guy. Well, Aesop Rock is a guy, not a band, not a collective.
I don't understand how this works.
Well,
I'm way too white.
Well, it's like Method Man is a person, you see, and Aesop Rock.
But he was a part of the Wu-Tang Clan.
He was. He still is. I've seen the Wu-Tang Clan live twice. No, ooh. ODB was not there. He was dead. He died when I was like 8 years old. I'm not that old. Stop making fun of me. Yeah, stop reminding me of my mortality. But yeah, Aesop Rock, my favorite album is Fast Cars, Fire, Danger, and Knives. He is kind of underground, if you know the underground scene, but he's been on MTV a couple times. He's not on the radio, which is kind of why you probably wouldn't know him.
Yeah, okay.
And why nobody really cares. But I used to love Eminem a ton. He's like the best. And then now he's just not. Because he hit the same wall that Metallica did, where like, so James Hetfield.
Yeah,
a good. All things considered, good thing. Like, I'm not trying to be like that guy, but James Hetfield stops drinking, and what he used to do is like just take a bottle of Jack Daniels and sit in a room and write the greatest rock albums ever recorded. And then he's like, "I sobered up and got a haircut," and everybody's like, "Yay!" You know what I mean?
Right?
Because then he's just like, "I'm really in anger with you. It's a song about being a saint anger. That's a guy, saint anger. Wow!" And you're like, "Oh no!" Yep, and then he turned into Vince Neil.
Vince Neil. Seriously, who ate Vince Neil?
It looks like Vince Neil became a pug.
Neil?
Like a pug candle, but it's definitely been lit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can still tell what it was.
Yeah, right.
But it's melted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's Vince Neil. But yeah, and that's that story.
Yeah.
That's what James Hetfield did. Like, James Hetfield.
Oh yeah, we had Load, Reload.
Yeah, they Reload is their last passable album.
Yeah,
to Load is okay. Reload is, and then we're done.
And then Saint Anger.
then we're done. We're done. But like Garage Inc. is great. Ride the Lightning is an American classic. But like, yeah, and it, all things considered, like again, in both scenarios, as a humanitarian, good stuff. But James Hetfield, it was like, I'm not gonna drink anymore. And it was like, well, no. That was where all your talent was.
Yeah.
Son of a gun, you were right. It was the booze. And so Metallica's not good anymore. And or not their new stuff. You know what I mean? It's like the same thing with the Rolling Stones. Like, God bless Colin and Bill, but it's like, do you listen for the new Stones? What's your favorite new Stones song?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's what it was with Metallica, where it's like, great, if you play everything up until about 1996, I'm in.
Golden.
And then just stop.
Yeah, that was like when I went to an Iron Maiden concert, and they're like, we're only going to play the new album. It's like, no, I wanted the stuff from the 70s.
Yep, I'm going to leave. I'm going to light something on fire. I'm mad at you for that decision. And then Eminem's the same thing. He's like, all of his thing was like, yo,
I'm going to die by the time I'm 35 and I'm just going to be addicted to so much drugs.
Yeah, I got a pill addiction and my mom's a mess and my girlfriend hates me and my daughter, I can't even know if I'm going to have my daughter forever. Like, is she going to get taken away from me? I live in a trailer.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, well, everything with your mom kind of worked out and you and Kim made up and your daughter's turned into a lovely young lady and you're super rich. He's like, yeah, I know, right? But like,
yeah,
the world or some shit? What? You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, that's it. You're out of it. You're out. You're done.
You're done.
And like,
game over.
Like, and I don't want you to be like suddenly poor and have your mom be like, I'm going to kill you. But it'd be better for your career.
Yeah. Well, it's just like another one is Green Day.
Oh, well,
it's like we're 40 and we're still trying to be anti-establishment.
Yeah, right away. Colin listening
no
live.
No one asked you to be political.
Colin wouldn't. I don't even think he's listening live. He just heard this through his like through the ethos. The Stones Blues album for 2016 is fantastic. It won a Grammy. Yes, you know what that album was called? A Tree That Fell in the Woods, because no one fucking heard it. So did it even make a sound?
Yeah.
We are live, and we are going to
be
talking about all sorts of fun stuff. Today, it's an important one, and if we saw a lot of people that were like, hey, we're going to check it out, because you guys were like, hey, this is an important one. What's going on? And there's been a great deal of mystery. And Steve, I'm not ignoring your text. I just wanted you to listen to the show. Because
okay,
yeah, I got a text from Steve, and he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm not, I just listen to the show, everything's okay.
Yeah, just listen to the show, man.
And so there's just a lot to talk about, and you know, people have messaged us behind the scenes and sort of in front of the scenes now lately since all this, and it's just like people have just been very blunt, where it's just like, see, I don't this the same message, and I've been talking about this message for 6 months, so this isn't new, where people are like, hey, I don't like wrestling as much, and certainly not WWE, but I love you, and so even if I don't listen as much, just know that I still support you. And what I would tell you is, with all the love and respect in the world, like, and I mean that, like I'm not being a dick at all.
Yeah, right.
You not listening and not participating
isn't supporting.
But saying I love you, just, it's not supporting. It's not. And, like, I can't get you to like wrestling if you don't, because I think for a lot of people, it's this weird thing where, like, I don't know. This is just a total shoot, right? We're going to talk about some fun stuff later. We do have actual topics. So if you're like in your car right now and you're like, this is dumb, let me switch to, you know, Bruce Pritchard talk about Fall Brawl 98 and pretend I actually care about that. There's stuff.
Yeah, sure.
There's
But think about that, right? Like, that's kind of where we are in terms of wrestling. Right? You'd rather listen to Bruce Pritchard talk about Fall Brawl 98 because there's nothing to actually talk about.
There's a podcast, and it's a good one. It's a good one. But there's a podcast where Eric Bischoff talks about stories from backstage from shows that happened 23 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, ay caramba. That's what's up. Because there are no interesting stories, because you know what?
There's nothing interesting now.
And everybody's terrified to be interesting. Shawn Michaels said it in that interview. Everybody's afraid to be like themselves or edgy.
Right.
Because everybody's just like this machine and all that stuff. But there's just so much to talk about and like where we are.
Right.
Because like the reality.
We're coming up on five, six? Yeah.
5 million
episodes. More weeks would be 5 years.
Right. And so it's like you kind of evaluate things at certain landmarks. And so on the one hand, things, just because it's important to throw this out there, I'm like talking to us at this point, not even everybody else.
It's mostly just us talking to each other.
There's some very cool things that we have done that I don't think anybody would have bet on. We have been downloaded in 6 continents, right?
Yeah.
All the ones with people on them.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
All the ones that count. And we have been invited to be red carpet guests for Goldberg's Hall of Fame induction, because that guy kind of gave us a wink and said thanks for kicking, you know, maybe starting this engine. You know what I mean?
We got straight up invited to StarCast.
Right. We didn't pay a dime to get a table and be there and all that stuff.
And we're the only ones.
Right. We're the only ones that didn't pay. And we've done some really cool things in pro wrestling. You know, we met Finn Balor, and because of TK and his awesome family, who we met because of NAI, like,
yeah,
we're able to hang out with Finn Balor and Bayley backstage, no cameras, just like real hangout, and like give them frog puppets that TK made. And I just don't know how you script that. You know, yeah, what
right.
I mean?
Right.
So we've done some super cool, we've met incredible people, like in amazing people. I'd like to think we've met people that like perhaps would not be friends if not for
yep.
this thing we've all worked so hard to put together.
here's a real thing, just because it's like official and I'm like actually like putting everything together.
Yep.
Dylan, you know, one of our Patreon, longtime follower of the show.
Yep.
I am officiating his wedding in a couple
and the
weeks.
The other two of us are groomsmen.
You know what I mean?
This will make Nicole feel terrible. I almost died on the way home from Dylan's party because I was falling asleep at the wheel and like literally swerving in lanes and like caught myself twice, like almost hitting cars and stuff. But there was no chance I wasn't going to drive 2.5 hours to Connecticut to see Dylan for his bachelor party and then drive 2.5 hours home.
Right.
Because I had work in the morning, but I wasn't not going to do that. And that's how, like, that's what a real friendship is.
Right.
Which is really what that is.
Yeah.
You're going to pronounce them husband and wife.
Right.
It's a very cool thing.
You know what I mean? Jedi proposed to his girlfriend on our show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, those are moments that...
It's like getting to know like the Arbusto family and like Connor and Lexi and Ann and TK, and just those are real family members to us now. People we wouldn't have met without this stupid thing, you know what I mean? And because the first time TK saw us, he called us losers and told Connor never to grow up to be like us. That's a true story. One time TK came up to me and he goes, "One day I'll tell you the story about the first time I saw you guys and what I told Connor." And I'm like, "Oh, awesome." And I thought it was going to be something like,
"Sweet,
those guys are chasing a dream. And if nothing else, you should." And then he goes, "No, you had belts at Chaotic Show. And I thought you were super dorky." So I go, "See those losers? They live in a basement. Don't ever be like them."
And now he's come over and listened to this show in that basement.
Ha-ha, now you've won our belt. The irony.
Yeah.
And so it's like we've done some cool stuff, man. And we've broadcast live from WrestleMania. We've helped, because Gary and Ashante have done a tremendous amount of the work, but we've helped raise money for Connor's cure. We have helped be part of an event so cool Stephanie McMahon dropped by this year.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's been incredible.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like the reality though is like where we are right now.
Yeah.
Is, you know, a couple years ago we were on the radio. We had a shitty time slot on a station that didn't care about us. But we took this little engine that still can.
Yeah.
And got it on terrestrial radio and onto a Boston actual tune-in in your car radio station and a sports radio station, the biggest one in the area. That's pretty cool. And so where we are now, though, a couple years later, is we are stagnant.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it. Because, like, here's the thing, you know, and this goes out to everybody that's listening, right? We know who's listening. We know when you're listening. It's like being Santa Claus.
I was just going to say, you're on a list.
You're on a list.
And we are checking it twice.
No, but that's the thing is we understand the trends of what's going on. You know, this show, this time last year, people were very, very excited about it.
Yep.
Now, there's a bunch of different reasons for why that could be is, but
to be fair, we haven't got a bunch of critics being like, "Your show's not good anymore."
Yeah, right.
People have much, much more flooded in with, "I don't watch Raw anymore." So
right. That's the thing is that basically the crux of this entire thing is we understand that wrestling's bad. Like this show goes as wrestling goes. And if wrestling isn't good, people don't care.
Yeah.
People were excited about All In and everything that All In had to offer. People were excited about different, you know, WWE storylines. Yeah, and still are, you know, but
not as much.
I would say half of from this time last year, people have tuned out from wrestling, and thus this show suffers. And that's the thing that we have to evaluate.
Right. And so here's just kind of making it. Just kind of full circle, right? We have for every, because our numbers have taken a dip, but the problem is that we can sort of, not the problem. It's not the problem. It's actually a great hidden solution that we just have had to dust off and call and like claim, which is people keep saying, like, you know, the numbers kind of go down and the interaction sort of goes down a little bit, and we'll have good weeks and we'll have a poll where I'll get 1,000 votes in a couple hours, right? And then it's not the average anymore, though. And the reality is that we'll get these DMs and these text messages just go, just so you know, I just don't watch wrestling anymore. So listening to a wrestling show, it's just, it's not you, it's me, but I do mean that and all that stuff, right?
Right.
And it's like, okay, so it's not that we're getting these messages being like, I don't know what happened to these guys, but they're not as good. It's not that. So that's kind of reassuring, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's still a problem.
The product isn't being criticized.
Right. Or, you know,
or maybe it is.
Our product isn't being criticized.
No, I know. And maybe it is, and you're just
keeping it to yourself.
Yeah.
Which you shouldn't, because we'd like to know. You know what I mean? Obviously.
Right. The worst thing that you guys could do when, because periodically from time to time, I'll release polls into like the Patreon or out on into the world being like, hey, what can we do better? What can we do this? And I'll get a flood influx of messages that's just like, you guys are awesome. And it's like, well, that's the worst answer.
Right. And we appreciate it. Like, yeah. Tremendously.
Right.
But it's just like,
I need you to tell me that it's like, hey, man, you got to cool it with this.
Because, like, the thing is, like, so, again, it's good to know that, like, I'm going to blame it on wrestling more than anything else, although I'm sure it's multifaceted, right? Maybe the fact that we don't get on the air anymore and are super pumped about WWE. You know what I mean? Like, I think there are people that are bummed about WWE, and so they don't listen at all because they don't want to think about it. They're just not thinking about it right now. And then maybe there are people out there that are just like, man, you guys used to be so excited about stuff, and you're not as excited about it anymore, and I still am, and so I kind of want to match that frequency, and we haven't been able to give that to you lately. Maybe that's fair, because this is the reality, too. The kind of the where it all boils down to for me is, if not for NAI, I would not be watching WWE every week. I wouldn't be watching SmackDown at all.
Yeah.
I would watch Raw in the background
while
I cooked dinner, if there was no game on.
Or, yeah, if you're playing PlayStation.
Yeah, right. Something that, right, is like, you know, I'm on my laptop, but that's, you know, the thing in the background.
Like every episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Yeah. Because WWE, for better or worse, is, and, you know, say what you want, it's not what we're doing right now, but WWE is the sun in which all of wrestling's planets orbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just sorry. You know what I mean? And so I'm not very passionate and excited about WWE at all right now. And so it's affecting me in ways where it's just like personal goals that I'm seeing myself not being able to achieve. Like, we really tried to bring a backstage presence and knowledge from an independent scene. And it's frustrating because that is what it is. And perhaps always will be. And it's frustrating because we've worked really hard at this. And at no point are we like, this isn't a bitch fest. This is just like, listen, we have, through the years, accumulated from business contacts and personal relationships, real phone numbers in WWE. Sometimes the information we get doesn't wind up. It's like the Saudi Arabia thing. The dude that's been right every single time texted me and he goes, this trip is off. A bunch of my guys have been told to clear it from their calendar. You can tell people this thing is off. And guess what happened? Really, really happened backstage. Talent got it wiped from their calendars. They were told this date is now in pencil, if not canceled completely. Yeah. Talent was told this thing's on hold. It wound up being untrue. And perhaps my phrasing in articles was too strong and matter of fact. It should have been more of a play-by-play of the text as opposed to this thing's off, right?
Right.
But that guy has been right about everything. He wound up being whatever. But, like, the point is that I have real wrestlers' phone numbers. And I contact WWE and I go, we have these wrestlers. They like us. They're ready to do the show. They've agreed. We scheduled the time. I've done everything. You just need to go, yeah, no problem, man. Of course not. Why would that be a problem? They already said yes and want to do it. Why would I be a dick and get in the way? And then every single time without fail, almost 98% of the time without fail, WWE is a dick and gets in the way.
Right. This is my crux and issue with the whole situation, just to kind of streamline your point. We started this. We've been doing this for 5 years, right? In some way, shape, or form for over 5 years. And had we picked literally anything else, we would be further along than we are now. And I don't say that as like a, you know, sour grapes sort of situation. I say it in terms of other properties that are under the NAI umbrella that have succeeded and moved on in other ways, and how we have things working behind the scenes that get approved, a matter of fact, right? That movie show that I do with Mike Wendt got picked up for a local Boston radio station. So that is on the rate, a terrestrial radio show. One of its main sponsors, now on particularly the radio end of things, unfortunately NAI doesn't see that money because it's not that part of it, but National Amusements and Showcase Cinema sponsors that show. And that show had been a podcast for a year. And Showcase was like, yeah, I'll throw money at this. And then something else that NAI has been able to do is we were approved for credentials for press for Comic-Con in Rhode Island. And that was an absolute no-brainer. And I'll even announce it here just because nothing's set in stone, but we have gotten the approval for press credentials for San Diego Comic-Con, which is the largest Comic-Con. And all we had to do was go, hi, this is who we are, and this is the content that we produce.
Check out our stuff.
Check out our stuff. And then the International San Diego Comic-Con Committee looked at our stuff and went, yeah, yeah, come get your ass over here. Here's the stuff. What do you need? And so now it's, you know, we go again to WWE where it's, hey, we know person A, B, and C. Can we talk to person A, B, and C? They are cool with it. And
they've been in our house.
But it's like they're cool with it. And they're willing. They've like found time in their schedule to do it. So it's not a conflict thing. I'm not asking to do it during Raw or a pay-per-view or SmackDown or a live event or something. And they're like, no. And it's just like, why?
Right.
Why? And so it feels to me that for a show that doesn't have an Eric Bischoff or a Bruce Pritchard or somebody that has actually lived the life, we've done pretty well for ourselves. But yeah, it's time for us to move on past the strict wrestling, because wrestling no longer wants to help us. So we will no longer help wrestling.
Right. And so here's something that I think is super duper important. Like, wrestling is not being abandoned. Like, it's just like, oh my God, is this not a wrestling show anymore? Well, yes and no. Yes, it is not a wrestling show anymore. No, it is not a show that will exclude wrestling. Like, we talked about this. We are going to go actively out of our way on the shittiest of all Raws. We will find something to talk about as part. We're going to go to that lineup format.
Right.
Where we have the 5 to 10 topics, just like PTI, you can see them right on the screen if you're watching Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. You can see what the topics are. We're going to run through them. They all have an allotted amount of time, and they'll range from everything. Movies, TV, right. Sports, the world. You know what I mean? Like, hey, maybe we, if the format had been a couple weeks ago, we might have had thoughts on the Notre Dame fire, you know, all I know. You know, basically, with the concept of the show, we hope is just going to be what's happening with three guys you like. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the reality, too, about, you know, being the new age insiders is like, you know, we have SAG actors in our repertoire, in our family, right?
Yeah.
We have Bill, who's been the PA announcer for like everybody in Boston. You know what I mean? Mike Wendt is on television. You know what I mean? And so I still work for Chaotic Wrestling, and will continue for the foreseeable future working in independent wrestling and, you know, trying to bring something to you that you might not have got. Because that's the other thing, too, is just like, we are always what we have been, which is fans of whatever it is, right? Like, I don't think I now work for WWE. I sure as fuck don't think I'm some sort of pro wrestling expert. I'm not Triple H, who to me is like the only guy that's like a wrestling expert, like Vince. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not that. But what I've tried to do, what we've all tried to do, is be like, hey, we are three fans that liked this thing so much we got a show, and liked that show so much we put all of our fucking everything we had into it. And along the way, we were able to be like, yeah, I had lunch with Cody Rhodes. He bought me an orange lemonade. But the cool part about that story isn't that I had lunch with Cody Rhodes. The cool part of that story is he told me things, behind the scenes stuff, things that we'd be able to like pass on. Things like when he sat there and he goes, I go, like, who do you think you're going to drop the title to? He goes, Dalton Castle. They told me that already a couple months from now. All he has to do is not get hurt. Guess who the next Ring of Honor champion was?
Dalton Castle.
I told people that in the Patreon chat.
And then he got hurt.
Right. Months before that happened. You know what I mean? And so it's like, that's a cool little thing if you wanted that info. And like being able to like drive around Billy Gunn for the day and hear him just tell me exactly how he feels about Triple H and how good he is at faking it on TV. And it's like, that's kind of cool for people that might want to know that info. And like, so we've never needed... This is the example I've used off the air. Here's a sneak peek for you. Here's some behind the scenes. I've said this sentence for 5 years. We've never need to interview Roman Reigns for, I think, people to like our show.
Right.
The key has not been to like, why won't WWE talk to us? It's super frustrating, but it's not everything. The real thing is like, we've hit a point where if you're not interested in wrestling anymore, and I'm not interested in wrestling anymore, and we really only kind of want to talk about little nitty gritty bits and pieces of wrestling.
Right.
That's what we should be doing. We should be talking about the things that are interesting. And sometimes the things that are interesting are new movies. And sometimes the things that are interesting are sports. And
right.
Sometimes the things that are interesting are TV or current events, or sometimes it's pro wrestling and sometimes it's not. And so the thing about it is like, this is sort of a reality call to everyone where it's just like, we all have real 40 plus hour a week jobs.
Yeah.
All of us, all three of us. We always have. And we're not asking you to be like, help us quit those jobs. It's not it. But the reality is like, we know exactly how many people listen to the show and how many like Patreons we have.
And that number is vastly different.
And it makes us super sad.
Yeah.
Because we get thousands of downloads and we have less than 100 Patreons. And it's like, okay. On the one hand, I know that we kind of got accustomed to like, getting a bunch of content from us for free. And that's cool. I get a bunch of content from content creators online and I've never paid them a dime. I like get it.
Yeah.
Like there are people I watch they produce a video on YouTube every day. I watch it every day and they have a Patreon and I'm not on it. So like I don't
Kettle Black. Got it.
Right, totally. But at the same time, it's like we're at the point where I see those content creators with like 1 million subscribers and 300,000 views, and it's just like they can be at the point where, okay, how much do you make a month? Oh, that much.
Right.
I'm a drop in the bucket. Whereas like, this is just like, okay, if this is going to go farther than what it is and be sustainable, because now we're getting to the point of our lives where it's like people with longtime serious girlfriends who want to make plans with life,
right,
and pick a place to live. And there are like real life things. And like, again, if the listeners go back up and like, there's some awesome content on our Patreon page. There's 5 shows a month. The best one we do is on that. There's things every day. There's real people that get to really connect through us. It's awesome. But like, yeah, it's like, it's seriously not even about the money. It's sort of about like, okay, we now know how many people out there like our content. But it's like kind of almost a little disappointing at how many people love our content, I guess,
right,
or like are
right.
willing to go for it.
Right. Because again, it, you know,
I'm not jingling a cup here.
No, because if you talk about in percentages, right, it was never going to be 100%. Right. And we get that. You know, we understand.
It's not realistic.
And that's not realistic. But when we're talking about a percent that's in the single digits and we were hoping for like, you know, a quarter of that, you know what I mean? A quarter of 100, then that's where the discrepancy is. And it's just, you know, the market is what it is. And ultimately, that's how things go out of business. Your favorite pizza place can produce the best pizza, but if people don't go to the pizza place has to close. You know, that's ultimately, you know, and that's a little dramatic, and I'm not saying that any guy's closing its doors, but it definitely shifts our mindset where it's, hey, do we formulate a way to get to San Diego for San Diego Comic-Con, shelling money out of pocket because this doesn't afford the ability to pay for planes and hotels and a rent-a-car to San Diego.
Right. We paid out of pocket for every single WrestleMania trip.
Right.
Like, if there's a conception out there that's just like, oh, this is what we do for a living and we're rolling in it.
No, not God, even close. No.
We pay out of pocket for everything.
Right. And so the point is that if this is at a turning point as to whether or not this does trend in the right direction to be something that is viable that we can do forever and full time, sure. Or it is what it is and it's a hobby. And yeah, it'll be fun, but yeah, be expected to see everything just kind of scaled back.
Guess,
because it's like, yeah, how much can I put into it when I got a million other things going on?
That's where we are too. You know what I mean? Where it's like, that's just a big part of it where it's like, you know, we love this. Like I love this. We all love this. So it's a labor of love sometimes, but I don't know. And things have changed. Like a lot has changed just as like far as the fun factor has gone. You know what I mean? A year and a half ago had like a whole network. You know what I mean? We had a very different structure. And then it's been hard because that whole thing fell apart.
Right.
And like we made some mistakes and some mistakes were definitely made. But like, yeah, without naming names, not that I really at this point care at all, it's super discouraging when people you tried to help a lot have a lot of bad, bad things to say about you when they don't think it gets back to you. And it sucks that like DC, who's never done anything wrong to us ever, right? And DC and Doc kind of like their show and like in the WPAN, there was just sort of like this earthquake, right? And like, you know, I see Brian three times a week, every 3 weeks. And it's like not the same, you know what I mean? And like, you know, DC, like he doesn't like quite know what's up sometimes because neither do we. And so that makes it harder. So it's like, yeah, when you tweet us and go like, yeah, it doesn't seem like you guys have as much enthusiasm for this week. It's just like, yeah, this used to be a lot more fun.
Yeah.
And wrestling used to be a lot more fun. You know what I mean? And so what we're trying to do as we wrap up the glum part of this thing and we'll, you know, whatever, is just be like, we're trying to make the show fun again.
Right.
Like, I don't remember the last time we had a special wacky character guest because I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah.
And I'm not wacky. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm here because this is something we take seriously and we're committed to it.
Right.
And it's like, so just kind of like, I guess, the cliff note of the whole thing. So you don't think that it's just like, why aren't you a Patreon? Because that's not it.
No, that's not.
It's that I work all day and then I sit here and I'm not passionate about wrestling and I don't think people care as much as we had hoped, quite frankly. And so what's the point?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's like it's so much harsher than I want it to come out.
Oh no, I'll straight up say it. I have for a long time, NAI was the platform that a lot of other production end of things that I'm trying to build were. That was the crux. That was going to be the platform. It was the largest platform that I had. It was the largest platform that was going to get in front of the most people. And that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And I don't know where the people have gone, but that's where the people have gone. That's ultimately what matters. And we need to figure out how we get the people back. And if everybody's telling us, I like you guys, I don't like wrestling, then wrestling needs to go away. Because I feel like the people that do support us in the most extreme facets, which in business, you know, normally, you know, you have those people and you kind of change and they're going to be with you no matter what. You know, those are the people that we need to make happy. And it feels like those people are going to be happy as long as we're happy.
Yep. And I do think that the good news is that people are just like, hey, you know, you guys, I want to listen to you guys and wrestling, whatever. And that's awesome. And we're also, just to throw this out there, This is not, I know that when in doubt, when we talk about something that isn't wrestling, it's like the Avengers, right? Because we're super nerdy and it's topical right now. This isn't going to become a superhero show.
No.
This isn't going to, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't going to become an anything show. It's going to be
an everything show.
Right. Exactly. Right. Perfect. And, you know, into Headstrong Live and Colin, who are like, do gaming videos. You got it, dude.
Yeah.
But we needed to have this because it's been this weird thing where it's like tomorrow, and it will be back tomorrow. You bet your ass. Like, no, you're crazy. We'll be live Thursday night, 8 o'clock, right. twitch.tv/newageinsiderstv. But yeah, it's like, yeah, we have this weird thing where I'm talking about aliens on a wrestling channel. And so we needed to let you know that kind of like effective immediately.
Yeah.
It's not a wrestling channel. Hey, King of Skunk Duck, we need a new logo.
Yeah.
No more wrestlers.
Yeah, well, and here's no the other wrestlers. Thing. The other thing to think about it, too, is you say video game streams. Well, it comes down to time, right? And we're putting all our time into all this stuff.
Will you watch them? I'll do it if you watch them.
Right.
I said that our goal by the summer is every Thursday we stream something. And I'll do it if you'll watch.
Right, but that's the thing. Because that's ultimately what's the problem is, you know, hey, look, guys, again, I know the numbers. You can say you watch all the time, but Late Night Liam gets nobody. And so, you know, you got to support us if you want these things to happen.
And maybe the whole thing boils down to, because it's like Jamie and Scotty have an awesome show.
Right.
Right. And Jamie and Rich have an awesome show. For the Pops, Let the Chaos Begin. And DC and Doc have an awesome show. Right. And so, like, there are things that we put our name on that we're super proud of, and they're not going away. Late Night Liam's terrific. It's not going away. But I understand that some people are like, yeah, my main focus with you guys is the Wednesday gig. And us too. You know what I mean? But we want you to be able to be like, yeah, For the Pops is great, and Let the Chaos Begin is great, and Late Night Liam is great, and No, You're Crazy is great. But we all got to kind of get on the same page when it's just like, okay, if you're not, again, if you're not into wrestling right now and we're not into wrestling right now, wrestling's going to become a part of this. And like one thing I'd still like to do that we haven't talked about at all, let's do it live on the air, is like I'd still like to do live pay-per-view post shows. Right?
Sure.
That's a wrestling thing, right? Yeah. Probably our most popular wrestling thing is the live pay-per-view post shows, right? Because what we also might do is a live, I know, I hate this because there's people that are just like, I don't like superheroes, but like there might be a live Avengers show too.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's super topical.
Right.
We might do a live Super Bowl post show, perhaps.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's the biggest thing going on at the time.
Right.
And so like, wrestling isn't gonna go away, but wrestling is no longer, we're not gonna force ourselves to just like and some people are just like, no, I only want the wrestling stuff. But the wrestling's not going away. It's just going to be part of what we do now.
Yeah.
Because quite frankly, like, this machine's not chugging like it used to.
Right.
That's just the reality of it. You guys have to kind of see it from our perspective here, where it's just you know what I mean? So we need to like reach new people and bring new people together. And I'm guessing you have more interest than just wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's not going away. Like, if, you know, we're going to be live after Money in the Bank talking about who won. And then when somebody cashes in on TV, yeah, of course that's going to be on that show. Of course it is.
Right.
If you're like, oh man, something big happened in wrestling and I can't count on you guys to talk about it anymore, that is not true. Like, that is incorrect. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's just it. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about before we?
Because
we will actually do a show tonight for you with real topics, including wrestling.
Yeah.
But yeah, like where we are right now, and frankly, patreon.com/newageinsiders. Because if you want to sign up, there's awesome stuff there, and it helps. Because like, yeah, if we want to go to WrestleMania next year, that's going to cost us each at least $1,000 with a plane ticket and a hotel and all that stuff. Yeah. Like, and you guys are like, and I know if people are just like, why are you asking us to pay for your WrestleMania trip? Well, it's like, because we wouldn't go if not for the Mania, like the Mania Club guys to help them out, because it's an awesome thing, event we don't want to miss. But like, yeah, if you think that we would like go live from outside NXT with all our equipment and stuff to interview people,
right?
Just out of pocket, like we're too old. You know what I mean? I mean, like, we got like real life stuff now, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? We want to go and we want to bring you the best wrestling coverage in the world. right? But we also want to know that, like, you care. You're invested, I guess. You know what I mean? So, like, it's not going away. I promise you that wrestling is, like, not going away. It's just... I hope you guys can understand. And thank you, Mick Saltine, for subscribing on Twitch Prime. If you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, you can subscribe for me. But yeah, it's not...
That's me.
It's just like... yeah, the where we are. And also, this isn't a sad thing. Because next week, like starting this week, but next week, really, we're going to roll in and just be like, oh, there's the wrestling stuff I listen to. And some new interesting stuff, too. You know what I mean?
Right.
That won't be just... superheroes and The Walking Dead, if that's what you're afraid of. It'll be fun things like, what are the trending topics of the day? What are the conversations people are out there actually having? Right. What did you guys talk about today? So we can bring people in. Maybe we have call-in segments and stuff so you can be more involved and invested in this show.
With some wrestling sprinkled in.
Right, with wrestling in there. Exactly.
It's like, not going away.
Yeah, we're going to do a Money in the Bank post show. It's going to be great.
Just want to emphasize that again. It's not going away.
Call in. We're just having a more diverse pie.
To try to get new people in outside of the people we've already got.
Yeah. We have just been serving you ice cream, right? Now we are giving you a sundae.
Mm.
But you can't have a sundae without ice cream,
mm.
right? It's not going away. It's just...
And sprinkles.
That's
and chocolate sauce. And whipped cream.
So we love you. And shout out to Edward Sharp, who's going to listen when he gets home. You are a tremendous friend and human being. So yeah, that's it. That's where we are. Where it's just like, this... can't go on forever unless it, you know, the wind picks up. Our sails are drooping. You know yeah. what I mean? And that's just the reality of it. And we have full intention of going to Tampa for WrestleMania 36 and throwing a kick-ass party that Stephanie McMahon wants to show up to and being part of something special. And along the way, there will be some other cool stuff that happens in the world. And we want to talk about that too.
Yeah.
And so now you know. The more you know. And wrestling's not going away. I promise you, if you actually care about it in the world of wrestling, we will talk about it. I promise you.
Yeah.
It's just like...
We're not going to break down the Dana Brooke match.
Right,
we're not going to dig for stuff.
We just can't be like, Lars Sullivan went after R-Truth again. I don't care. Sorry.
Yeah, don't.
I don't care.
So, and neither do you.
Right. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, the Firefly Funhouse. Exactly, because that's a big deal right now.
I love it.
So we'll talk about the Firefly Funhouse. We'll talk about what you guys want to talk about. If we're live on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV Wednesday night at 8, and everybody's like, look at that, talk about the Firefly Funhouse. That's what we're going to talk about.
Sure.
It's just when we see a dip of people and they're all talking with inside jokes amongst themselves, then that means that wrestling topic isn't actually grabbing you at all.
Yeah, right.
And so maybe we can find something out there that will. Good stuff, fun stuff, positive, smiles, happiness.
Yeah. So everybody go get a drink. We'll be right back.
Right, exactly. And then sign up on patreon.com/newageinsider. We'll be right back.
Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie J. Mikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Hey everybody, this is Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner Jamie J. Mikowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Molotov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
So I watched this and thought I was having a fever dream.
Not what I expected.
As we get back on track to some wrestling topics here, this is part of why I hate the current WWE product.
Oh no.
Right?
Okay.
So leading up to this, the Firefly Funhouse.
It's very easy to say.
It is. It's super easy to say. While we were leading up to it, there was creepy dolls laughing and a playhouse, and it was spooky and weird. And then it cuts back to the ring, and nobody says anything.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the Miz's music hits, and we get a, oh, and the A-lister!
Yeah.
All excited, and it's just like, you know what hurts wrestling and hurts this product? Is that from a fundamental character story structure level, nobody reacts or is affected by anything, right? This is going to be a very graphic example, but the only example that I can think of in the moment, right? In the show Sons of Anarchy, right?
Oh, this could be anything.
Yeah, the character of Gemma Teller gets sexually assaulted by two members of a white supremacy group that's trying to get rid of the motorcycle club.
I don't like any of that.
Yeah, right? And so their whole thing was don't tell your husband or don't tell your son that this happened or we're going to do it again. So she proceeds to not tell anybody. And that sets into motion a bunch of events in this show that kind of carry it forward for a while. And it's because the characters have something happen to them. They then internalize that, and it affects their decisions going forward. And in WWE, none of that happens, right? A spooky doll just starts laughing and, in theory, takes over the show. And our announce team, which acts as the narrator to take us through all of the different things that are going on, doesn't react. And then the next thing it's super happy that The Miz is here.
Yeah, so here's the thing about Bray. This is kind of a Bray Wyatt in a nutshell thing. I'm glad you brought that up because it's true, right? So here are two fundamental issues, two sides of the coin that really play in this perfect kind of microcosm here with Bray Wyatt, right? On the one hand, you're right. They've been doing this with the history of Bray Wyatt, though. Bray Wyatt will get on the Titantron and be like, I'm going to take over the world, man, and I'm going to eat every firstborn child, and then every volcano is going to explode, and it's because of me. And then Michael Cole goes, wow, interesting. Naomi's on her way!
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's boss time! You know what I mean? Or something stupid that he says. And, like, that's...
Right.
That's always kind of neutered him a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I always feel like Bray Wyatt spooky dookie segments should go straight to commercial.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So when Michael Cole comes back, even he looks like a little shaken, but he's like, all right, I guess the show must go on.
Well, it's like every time The Undertaker did anything,
uh-huh,
right, JR would try and regain his composure or at least acknowledge, even if it was very brief, that he needed to regain his composure.
And here's the other thing The Undertaker didn't do, to my knowledge, and remind me if I'm wrong, because I'm not that old. I was young when he was doing like the real fun stuff. They didn't, every time he would do a graveyard thing, it'd be different.
Right.
Doesn't it lose its steam a little bit when it's like, okay, the first time you show me this dollhouse and this doll and all that stuff, it's like, okay, like, did Bray Wyatt... I know it's a show, but I'm trying to have a good time here.
Well, this is the problem. The problem is that they don't know how to tell a story.
Right, but I'm trying to have a good time here. It's like, did Bray Wyatt, like, cut into the feed? Or, like, right, you know, how this message get here? But it's like, no, in theory, it's like, I guess Bray Wyatt, like, sent them this video and they feel the need to play it three weeks in a row? Why couldn't the video be? And I know there's two different videos. One of them's just the buzzard in the box, but it should be different every time,
right?
Because it's like now it's just this looping dumb video that doesn't hit. So, but I want to talk about the Firefly
Funhouse
because I do actually, despite all that, think that there is something here.
Oh, I love
maybe.
It.
But to be fair,
every single time that they get Bray Wyatt going, they neuter him by having him lose, and it doesn't matter.
Yes.
that's the problem with this character, because again, they hand this guy something and they go, hey, just do this weird Pee-wee's Playhouse thing, right? And he's like, oh, sure, I'm gonna knock that out of the park because I have the ability to act any character the level of the Undertaker. You just won't let me.
Yeah, right. TJ Clockwork, thank you, TJ. He completely understands. He's gonna keep listening as long as the topics interest him, so that's now our job. It'll be a lot easier as long as to tell friends about you guys and sell the Monica's the, you know, general interests. Ed, yeah, the podcast will be up by 10, probably. I don't know, times.
We'll figure it
out.
It'll be up 15 minutes after we're done.
Bam. So the thing about the Firefly Funhouse in general, though, is it's like, okay, trying to have a good time here and trying to see something for kind of like what it is, right? Which is, it could be interesting because at least it's different. The issue here with Bray Wyatt is, though, like, now this reminds me a lot of, like,
it's...
Like, it reminds me a lot of, like, Psycho Kane, where it's like, okay, this is a character, too, and interesting, but I really liked the burned guy with the mask. That's the Kane I liked, and so I fear that we might be heading down that road, but even just more kind of, like, with matter at hand kind of deal with him, it's just like, this, I want to, like, be like, oh, we're going to have a good time and have fun here, because the idea of, like, Bray Wyatt hosting Pee-wee's Funhouse or Blue's Clues, or whatever the hell it's going to be,
right?
Is interesting, but it also kind of is just like, what's the payoff? Where do we possibly go from there?
Well, the big thing is he going to win?
Because win what?
Well, anything.
More than he has.
Anything. Because the problem with this guy is that he disappears for a little while. He comes back. Now, this time has been a lot longer than other times.
Yeah.
But he disappears for a while. He comes back. Oh, I'm the big spooky. I'm going to beat you, and I'm going to really affect you, and we're going to do this. And then he loses. And it's like, oh, well, I don't take you seriously anymore. You're like gold dust.
Yeah. So we are live, and we are watching. Colin, why aren't people more excited about Seth and AJ? I'm not excited about Seth Rollins.
So the problem with Seth Rollins and AJ Styles is they don't have characters.
Well, you're right. But to me, it's like it's we're spoiled. We've talked about this a ton.
Right.
This roster's so loaded. They have 8 franchise quarterbacks. You know what I mean? There's so many guys that could be the dude for any wrestling promotion in the world. That like, yeah, I'm stoked for this because like, yeah, it's a match that like I don't think we've ever got. Like, they didn't work in Ring of Honor, right? And like, have they ever crossed paths
in the indie scene?
Yeah,
have they?
So yeah. AJ actually called Tyler Black the future of wrestling like 15 years ago.
Yeah, okay, but it's been a while.
Yeah,
right. And so like, I'm excited for that. It's gonna be awesome. But the thing that about WWE that has disappointed us or me enough like lately. Enough to be like, yeah, we're going to talk about other stuff now and felt the need to talk to you about it. You know what I mean? Is the A-plus world-class matches aren't the problem. As spoiled and gluttonous and what a horrible fat American I am, you know what I mean, kind of idea. It's like AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins is going to be awesome. But you know what else was awesome? AJ Styles versus Randy Orton, as was Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As was a lot of matches just in recent memory for this company that were aces. So like, it's not like I'm like, how come WWE's in-ring content is just so piss poor? Finally, we're about to get a wrestling match. It's the exact opposite. I don't care about Seth Rollins very much. They haven't given me a ton of reasons to care about AJ Styles. So it'll just be another really great match, and as spoiled as that sounds.
Right. Well, and again, it's WWE's inability to acknowledge that television has changed. The importance of continuous through lines and storytelling is what people watch. Everybody cares about Game of Thrones. Everybody, right? And the people in this basement might be the anomaly.
I do not.
Yeah, we might be the anomaly, but
I also recognize that it does not make me cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no.
But 2/3 of us like Walking Dead.
Right, that's true. But yeah. The point is that narrative storytelling has dominated what is on television, and this sitcom style of like, we're just going to hodgepodge it together and not bring any real continuity or any sort of real story structure to this show is making it not worth watching. And you brought up The Walking Dead. That's what this show is. The Walking Dead was great. Or I brought up Sons of Anarchy. I'll talk to Sons of Anarchy more because I loved that show and I watched it from start to finish. Everything after they got back from Ireland, which is like season 4, is not as good. And the reason why it's not as good is because we ramped up to this one story. This one story was awesome, and we absolutely loved it. And then it just kind of existed for 3 more seasons before it ended. And everybody's like, yeah, it's good, but it's not season 3.
Yeah.
And that's what WWE has become, where it's like, yeah, it's pretty good. This character has something interesting going on, and that performer's really good, and I like watching him. But you know what? I really miss Stone Cold Steve Austin because that guy was awesome.
Yeah. Well, that is the thing with WWE right now. It's just like there are obviously naturally charismatic guys, right? I think you're going to be hard pressed to find a professional wrestler in the world more fun to watch than Big E, right? Yeah. Like the New Day as a package are just super entertaining, super duper fun. But other than them and their very particular kind of funny, nobody's funny. Like they are, right? They are funny but they're so specific. It's unicorns and pancakes, and it's like the theater of the absurd, right? You know what I mean? Not taking a thing away from them. They are the best part of most shows they're on.
Yeah.
But like, I'm talking about just like, literally just like, The Rock was funny. Like, you would grab a mic, and no matter what he said to whoever, it was going to be funny.
Right.
Whether he was going to crap on Michael Cole or crap on Chris Jericho or anything in between, it was going to be funny. And now you see like Bob Lashley stand there and try to remember his lines. And you take a guy who was already not naturally magnetic and neuter him even more because now he's got to remember a script. And he looks like a high school kid who sucks in a play. You know what I mean? When Bobby Lashley is 11 feet tall and 900 pounds of muscle, and you don't use that guy to just be ferocious and mean. Right. You know what I mean? Aleister Black on, was it SmackDown or Raw? Was he on Raw? He's on Raw now? Is that what show he's on? Or SmackDown?
SmackDown.
SmackDown, right? He's on SmackDown. He has this like weird stare at the camera soliloquy where he calls himself a character, where he's just like, oh, you'd think you know who I am, but you don't. And yes, do I have candles when my entrance comes out? Indeed. But no, that does not define who I am. I am more mysterious than that. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? This isn't how anyone talks. This isn't how anyone talks. I have the same level of frustration with WWE and their writers that I do with Kevin Smith movies. Because Kevin Smith, like, two people will be at a bar, and he'll be like, what do you think is, like, the perspicacious situation of what's going on inside of you? And it's just like, well, the antiquity of what had happened in my childhood probably post-haste transmorphosized. It's just like, Kevin, you're at a bar. No one talks like this.
Right.
Stop trying to act so goddamn smart. You know what I mean? And so with WWE, it's like when Samoa Joe looks at a camera and is just reading, it's like, dude, I know Joe can cut a promo. What the hell is going on? You know what I mean? It's like, who is in our house? Chip?
Ah, dumb Chip.
Ah, Jesus Christ.
We have chairs down here, you asshole.
Why is Chip in our home?
Because like, Chip and I are apparently going to go get hot pot after this.
Because dumb Chip forgot his computer charger in my car after Dylan's party.
Oh, you look weird.
So you haven't had a charger for like a week and a half?
And his boss fired him today because of it.
And your boss fired you?
You don't have a microphone. It's not good radio.
Yeah, that's not good radio. That's terrible.
Is the Mayans thing on yet? We haven't got the...
Yeah, Mayans. Mayans is a show.
Oh, yeah, okay. So what were we talking about before this idiot?
We were talking about how the writers suck. Because they're asking...
Oh, right, and I know Joe can cut a promo, so why won't you just let him? I know that Kevin Owens is funny on his own, so why won't you let him? Why do you have to have him wear a scarf? You know what I mean? To be funny.
You don't even let them do the backstage stuff anymore like you were talking about. Like, Chris Jericho in The List is probably the last time we saw anything like that.
Right, because Chris Jericho's funny. And Chris Jericho's one of those guys, like, don't give me a script that literally, what is it, who wrote that? Freddie Prinze Jr. wrote this? Get the fuck, are you kidding me? I know what you did last summer, and it wasn't quite a wrestling show. You know what I mean? Right. Well, yeah, and it's like, so yeah, you want to talk about like how we got to segment one? It's here with segment two. I'm not invested in anybody.
Right. As Colin asks why we're not hyped for AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins.
Right. Everybody gives me so much shit, and I understand it. Like, and honestly, I do. It gives me so much shit. Like, why do you like Brock Lesnar so much? Because Brock Lesnar's the only guy that doesn't go, ah, Seth Rollins, it's Sunday. You are going to be vanquished, not I. You know what I mean? Like, no one talks like that. Yeah. And so at least Paul Heyman goes there and sounds like an interesting human being. And then Brock Lesnar comes in and goes, haha, I don't even care about this thing and I'm great at it. And you hate it. You know what I mean?
If he even says that at all.
Right, exactly.
He's the greatest talker of our
and
generation.
It's just somebody. It's just somebody, not like... I don't recognize wrestling anymore.
Right.
Where did the aesthetic go? What happened to some guy in a tuxedo holding a microphone with some muscly dude going, let me tell you something.
Yeah,
what happened to that?
Well, and it's like, you look at...
I'm so old. I just want Randy Savage back.
We all do. Again, I just want Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I know.
That's all I want. But you look at AEW, right? And you look at everything that's going on in being the Elite. Do you know who would be terrible here? Is Kenny Flippin' Omega. He's the best wrestler on the planet, or one of them. He's one of the best wrestlers on the planet, and they would have leaned so hard into the Terminator thing, where it's like, half of Kenny Omega's charm is the fact that he's like, I also love Resident Evil, like, a lot.
Yeah,
and,
right.
like, Final Fantasy is my jam.
Or they've been like, oh, you like cats? That's funny. You're gonna hang out with, you know, Fandango.
Yeah,
no,
you know?
You're gonna have a good time with that. We have topics.
Yeah,
let's just get to them. This is the next one. So the Bray Wyatt thing. So final thoughts on that.
Fun.
I think it has a ton of potential. I have absolutely no idea what a long term history of Bray Wyatt hosts a haunted Pee Wee's Playhouse could be.
It's got to be just a Jekyll and Hyde situation, though.
But who's Hyde? Old Bray
Him.
Wyatt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then what happened? How'd that happen?
Why is
this guy so complicated and weird?
I read something today that they're aiming for this to be like the creepiest character in a long time.
Good.
Oh,
I hope so.
Yeah, neat. Yeah, well.
Neat.
Yeah, great. I you know, what does that mean? Who's the most recent example? 1999 Undertaker? Neat.
Yeah.
He'll be the creepiest guy in 20 years.
Yeah.
Splendid.
Boogeyman.
Oh yeah, well that guy did eat worms, so
yeah, he's the boogeyman.
Got me there. Talk about it. Because like that's something funny too. People have given me crap for that too. I'm like, I hate the. It's a stupid gimmick. I'm like, why? I'm like, because it's the boogeyman. And people are like, it's wrestling, dude. It's like, no. It's the like.
Yeah, right. They had the Santa Claus.
You can have
somebody
Arnold Schwarzenegger become a wrestler. But if you went out there and are like, oh, the Terminator is here, it's like. No, that's silly.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
It would be like you had Jack Frost be a wrestler.
The guy that killed Bruce Wayne's parents?
Oh, no.
That was Joe Chill. That's right.
That's Joe Chill.
No, that's Michael Keaton as a snowman. Jack Frost.
Yeah. No, but you know what I mean? Like Jack Frost or the Santa Claus. Because that's what the boogeyman is. Like, that's your argument.
Yeah.
That's
right. You're right. Yeah.
That's your argument. Your argument is you're telling me that this is the boogeyman.
Yes. Right.
Not,
you couldn't think of anything?
Like, not like Eric Bonanza, the boogeyman.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
or the boogeyman, Eric Bonanza.
Yeah.
You know, which, first of all, I love that name. Eric Bonanza.
Free NXT name.
Free NXT name. Eric Bonanza.
Game show host.
Yeah.
It's going to be Jordan's shoot name.
Yeah, he got into Chapman.
Oh, congratulations, bud.
Yeah, so it's good for him.
What's next?
The Undertaker and Kurt Angle were pulled from StarCast this past week. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't care.
I think it's great.
I just think it's like this is
everyone up in arms.
This doesn't surprise me at all because you want some inside pool here because I don't care anymore about what they think of me. We like so Tommaso Ciampa for our show WrestleMania weekend, right? Our Chaos for the Cause, right? This would have sold out if he had done this.
Yeah,
Ciampa goes, I'll do it. I'll do your show. I'll waive my fee. It'll help you guys. I'll just do it. Like Tommaso Ciampa would have just. Been in our show.
Yeah, right.
Hosted our show.
Done a meet and greet.
Done our show. And WWE goes, no, you can't go to a rec center on a Saturday afternoon on your own goddamn time.
While you're hurt?
Right, on your own. You know, just no.
You already did your spot for the weekend,
and
too.
So that's who they are. And so like, here's the other thing, too, though, right? as I do my I do my favorite thing when we do talk about wrestling, and this isn't going away. If I'm Vince McMahon,
yep.
Oh, you're having a convention that helps promote, because don't fucking piss on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Yeah.
You have a convention
yes.
that helps a promotion that is signing my guys and doesn't make me a dime. And you want me to send two of my all-time performers yeah. to your event.
To be fair, I would say Kurt Angle is an all-time TNA performer.
Oh, I would say he is.
Spent more time.
The TNA performer.
People, yeah. people will remember him as a WWF guy.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah,
yeah but, obviously. But what I'm saying is, like, Kurt Angle's on my TV
yeah.
still.
Yeah.
The Undertaker is
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker. And you want me to send two of my all-time rock stars to your convention
right.
that puts over somebody else while I don't make any money because this all went through their private reps?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is no. And so, like, yeah, is it douchey? Because here's the thing as WWE fans that gets exhausting, right? Is like, hey, we bought tickets to this thing, and we're really excited for it. And WWE went, oh, that's neat. And it's like, yeah, we've had months to get mentally all jazzed for it. And because you let it happen in the first place
right.
and have let it happen for months, well, this is real, real. And then you're like, nope, I don't care about your fun. I don't care about the fact that it's going to be a, like, and I understand it's a business and it's cold and I'm naive and I'm a Democrat and you just believe in a future where everybody's actually happy. I'm so stupid. But like, yeah, it's like the idea where it's just like, yeah, there's going to be this really fun wrestling convention. Fans will be there
yeah.
and the Undertaker looking for the Undertaker. And it's just like, that doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. Well,
it's like, oh Jesus. All right, great. I'm yeah. so glad I give you so much money. I'm so glad my WrestleMania tickets are like $350
yeah,
and most right. of the time the show sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so from a business standpoint though,
sure.
yeah, of course they did. Yeah. Of course you can't have them. Of course you can't.
Yeah.
Of course. I can't believe you had them this long. I can't believe you got to announce them for 2 months. Like, of course you can't have them. I'm pissed you have Gold Dust.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right, and he's going to wrestle Stardust.
Right, and I didn't care about Goldust. You know what I mean? Yeah, I like right. Vince McMahon found out Goldust was still in the company 2 days ago when he left. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
But true. I'm not happy about that. I'm never talking to Chris Jericho again. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's just like, yeah, I of course you can't.
And it's only a matter of time before CM Punk shows up.
But it's a bummer for the fans that bought tickets.
Oh, yeah.
And for the kind of hammering home that idea that, like,
well,
your fun is certainly not our highest priority.
Well, that's the biggest thing, and that's probably the thing I learned about wrestling in general, where we're going to get to our next topic, which is, like, the five jobs thing that's been going around Twitter. But, you know, in the industry that I work in, everybody tries to help everybody else because you never know when you're going to need something from somebody. So the mentality is, let's all help so that we all win. In wrestling, it's fuck you, pay me, and fuck you if you even think about asking for help.
Right.
And it's just like, well, that's shitty. And it's definitely shitty when the guy at the top of the original, of like the biggest thing, has that mentality, because that'll never change.
Yep. And that's just sort of the way it is. And and as we like expand our universe, it's disappointing because you see companies like Disney that are just like, yeah, cool, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if we
come on down,
right? Like, if we could like get a hold of Robert Downey Jr., they wouldn't be like, oh no, Robert, right. that show's not worth. No, Robert, no.
Yeah.
They'd be like, I don't care. You know yeah. what I mean? Like,
what, you want to talk about this thing that we want to try and make money off of?
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
And we don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We don't have to pay them to have you on. Sure.
It's just so frustrating with WWE. It's like, hey, I've got these. I have their phone numbers. I texted with them all day. They're like jazzed to do the show. And WWE is like, no, of course not. Well, would you enjoy that? No. Stop it. Didn't you hear Stephanie McMahon in Dallas? We hate you.
Right.
We told
right.
you that.
We own you.
We called you pigs. We told you that we sit in the back and we open the suggestion box and we laugh. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just, and we're the stupid ones.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, Stephanie's like, you're dumb and you give us your money and we don't take anything you think into consideration. Be like, all right, Steph, well, I'll see you Monday, but I don't like this. You know what I mean? You know what
I got my eye on you.
Maybe next year's WrestleMania won't be all time disappointing. Okay.
I know you touched on Tommaso Ciampa, but do you want to touch on the Ziggler thing?
Oh yeah, I literally text messaged with Dolph Ziggler all
just,
afternoon.
Just to give it people.
It was like 2 days before our event in our first wrestling show that we were helping to host, Chaos for a Cause for Connor's Cure, trying to raise as much money as we can for a great cause that WWE is on board with and created the charity. And Stephanie McMahon came to our event. And not that one,
yeah.
Right. But the Mania Club party on Sunday, and Dolph Ziggler goes, "Yeah, man, I'll do it. I'll help you out.
I'm not doing anything.
I'll host the show. You know what I mean? I'll set up a table." He would have drawn 300 extra people, maybe five. You know what I mean? Because yeah, Dolph Ziggler would have been like, "Yeah, I'm not doing any autographs this weekend. Come get an autograph."
Who would have put money in our pockets?
Right. I would have hosted the show. Right. And Dolph Ziggler literally texts me. He goes, "Yeah, man, I'll do it. You got it, man. Let's do it."
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Who cares what they think?
Right. He literally goes, "I sent them an email. No one will respond to me. So screw it. I'll just do this." And then he goes, "So I'm just going to send them an email going, yeah, I'm going to do it. So if you're looking for me this Saturday afternoon, this is where I..." That's really the email. Yeah. He goes, "I'm just letting you know if on Saturday afternoon you're looking for me, where's Dolph Ziggler? I'm here." And that's the email they responded to, and that's
they
the
say
email
no.
You say he's that you can't do it, and it's like, Jesus Christ, you know what I mean?
That's why we're frustrated,
right? That's a big part of it. Like, it's not just like, why don't you guys all Patreons? Because that's not what this show is about. This show is just about looking around and being like, quite frankly, we're not having any fun and not making any money. So that's why we need to make a change.
Yeah, right.
Because I at least want to have some fun again.
All right.
You know what I mean? And wrestling alone isn't doing it. Because things like, yeah, Bray Wyatt goes like, this is a huge character shift for me that might literally set the tone for whether or not I'm ever a main eventer again.
Yeah.
And Michael Cole's like, ooh, interesting. Moving on. You know what I mean?
Oh, the A-lister.
Right.
It's like, oh, Christ.
But yeah, to wrap up the previous topic, of course you can't have The Undertaker and Kurt Angle. You never should have counted on that. I can't believe you advertised that for 2 months.
Yeah.
Also, you want to talk about Vince McMahon just has no idea what they're doing over there?
Yeah.
That, you know, that's the first time he heard about it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's like, Mark's doing what? No, he's not.
And he brought Kurt?
Yeah, no, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not.
So great. Yeah. All right, so there was a
Mark, what do you mean you're going to Vegas?
Yeah, right.
I thought you were getting married again or something.
Yeah, I thought you were having lunch with Conrad. Now you're both fired.
All right, there was a trending Twitter topic going around today, and it was basically asking people out there, what were their five jobs you've held in your career prior to where you are right now? And so I figured that was a fun little topic to try to get us involved and obviously the Twitch listeners and everybody involved. So what kind of jobs have you guys had prior to the jobs you hold currently right now?
So I've had a wacky list of jobs. I have...
Like Wayne?
Yeah. Yeah.
From Wayne's World?
From Wayne's World. I've been the tech director of a improv comedy club in... Boston, Improv Asylum. And so part of that, I was producing, I produced a television show for them. It was 6 episodes on TV here, local TV here in Boston. We ended up getting nominated for a regional Emmy. So I have I've officially been Emmy nominated, which is a really, really fun thing that I can just kind of say sometimes when we talk about stuff like this. Because of that, I got to end up going to Dubai, which was a really, really fun experience, being able to go to Dubai, and I got detained at a Middle Eastern airport, and that was entertaining. I got to go to China as well, so I got to do all that fun stuff. I also worked as a production assistant and associate producer for G4's Attack of the Show, which was a live nerd show where people talked about video games and all sorts of weird nonsense. And it was a live television program on the now defunct G4. I moved to Los Angeles twice for that. And both times didn't pan out, which was that.
What did G4 stand for?
It was like games for television, or it was originally supposed to be something else.
I thought it would have had 4 G's.
Yeah.
That's what I would have guessed too.
Yeah. It was something like that. It was really sad because people that know what that show is and what that network is, they very much remember it fondly. And so they have a guy at NBC Universal that goes around and kind of saves the networks and like brings in original content and kind of rebrands them. He's the guy that fixed Sci-Fi, right? If you remember, Sci-Fi was just a defunct channel, and he brought in all that original programming, and then he did it to USA, bringing in Suits and Burn Notice and White Collar and all those.
Which are very real shows people yeah. actually watch.
Well, they've all since ended, but he's the guy that was in charge of bringing Monday Night Raw back to USA. Right? Like that was a part of his plan. And so he got put in charge of G4, and that was what he was going to be doing. Ultimately, he was going to just cancel everything and rebrand it. And so that's what ended up happening there. Then I produced for the Lax Sports Network, which is actually the worst job I've ever had. it's actually the worst job that I've ever had because they were a 24-hour news lacrosse channel. And every single time that I was
America's sixth sport.
Yeah. Well,
if they're lucky.
Well, and I was like, hey guys, like, how about we like have a good relationship with the players? And they're like, oh, the players hate us. And I was like, what? So the player, like, I have to get an interview from this like all-star attackman. And it's just like, hey man, I can't because that's my weekend job. And during the day, I'm like a doctor and I have to do doctor things. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, that seems stupid that I can't interview you. And then everybody else is like, yeah, man, I'm not a full-time lacrosse player. I got like this job and I can't do that. Or it's some college burnout. And he's just like, whoa, bro. And it's like trying to interview Matt Riddle. And
which must be like trying to catch butterflies yeah. with bare hands.
And so then I'm like, hey, how about we do a little fun and we have some fun stuff and like, you know, do wacky and zany like things. And they're like, no, we're a serious news organization. And I'll never forget the week that I quit because that week I come in and it's in the middle of October where there is no lacrosse happening. And it was right before November started. And They go, we made a big faux pas. The league, the Major League Lacrosse, which is now basically going to be defunct, you could just sign up to be in the player pool, right? Because it's not like the NFL where people like have to try out and shit. You can just be in the player pool and they can just like pick you up if you're local or whatever. And so if you clicked on that document on the Major League Lacrosse website, it would bring you to an Excel spreadsheet. And the Excel spreadsheet had every single person in the player pool's full name, full address, cell phone numbers, and social security numbers, as well as emails. And I'm like, oh, this is the first piece of relevant big lacrosse news that we should probably cover. And then I'm basically told, no, the league partly owns us and we don't want to make the league look bad. So like, we can't really talk about it. And I was just like, oh, so, oh no, nope. If I believe in one thing, it's that you shouldn't censor the media. And especially if it's something like that. And so I'm sitting at my desk being like, well, I have this huge news story, but I guess I'll have to talk about how these drunk over 40 lacrosse players are hanging out on a beach. And then I get a text message from the owner of Improv Asylum being like, hey man, you want to go to China? And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to go to China. So I walked up and I go, hey, just so you know, this is my 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so I quit that.
Beautiful.
I worked throughout high school and college. I worked at a produce department at a grocery store. I also delivered pizzas. That was like my like high school job kind of thing. But I've had all sorts of odd jobs. My first like actual, I guess, technical job, I was a bellhop and a busboy at an inn in New Hampshire.
Ooh,
over the summer. I have done everything from put together and manage $160,000 ballrooms with projectors and lights and screens and people and live union crews and stuff, to running cable and running tape and doing the most gruntiest of all grunt work. I've delivered equipment. I have done social media, online marketing. I have sold cars. I have... I've done all sorts of things for money. So I've lived, my story will be, if nothing else, interesting and eclectic.
Awesome. Yeah. And I started caddying when I was 12 years old. So that's right. When I started making money. And then my first,
My first like paycheck job, I was a camp counselor for a camp in Milton. And then I became a beer hawker at Gillette Stadium, so that was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Used to put on the fake accent, you know, going up the stairs and like, ice cold Coors Light here.
Oh my god.
You would
get your news here.
Yeah, right.
I used to make a killing doing that, dude. Like every game was like,
news don't sell papers, newsies sell papers.
I love that
movie. When I started doing the hawking, it was you got a commission off of everything you sold. So it was, for Patriots games, you got 15% of what you sold. And then for concerts and Revolution games, you got 25%. So at the time, the beer was like $7.50. So 15% was about 95 cents per beer that you sold. So I would get out of there making a check worth like $200. Plus, I'd make at least 50 cents off of every person for that $7.50 beer because no one wanted the two quarters back. So, and then some people would give you bigger tips on top of that. So I used to make like $500 a game.
Wow, yeah.
Down there. It was unbelievable. And then I quit because Robert Kraft, they changed the pay system, and then they changed it from commission to hourly pay.
Oh.
So they changed it from you were making 15% to now you're making $5.50 an hour.
Oh, no, thank
you. It's like, yeah, no. I mean, I would still make like $200 a game if I wanted to, but yeah, it wasn't worth the $300 pay cut to keep doing that.
Yeah, right.
And then you got a hand job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're all going to see it.
We're all going to see it.
No, not all of us. If you think I'm going to watch a black and white video of a 75-year-old man getting a handy, you are wrong.
Yeah.
That is not what gets me. Yeah, is that the sound?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
A lot of loop.
No. There needs to be.
Big puff of talcum powder.
Yeah.
You did it, Bob.
Speaking of 70-year-old man, just another job that I had was I was a chauffeur for an assisted living facility. During college.
Oh, fun.
And so, yeah.
Is that a polite way of saying you drove a hearse?
Yeah, it is. I drove for this assisted living facility where it was basically like I would just drive people to doctor's appointments.
Yeah, Uber,
and
Uber
CVS.
Death.
Yeah, it was Uber death.
Uber death.
But yeah.
That was really, really fun. Definitely tweet into us over the next few days.
For sure. And obviously, if you're listening live on Twitch, definitely let us know what you've done as well.
Yeah.
Then after beer hawking, I was my first full-time job was at Wollaston Golf Club in Milton. And I was working in the bag room over there. It was basically like all the members stored their clubs, and if they wanted them, you get them out and set them up at the first tee and all that stuff. I got promoted to do to the director of that position after a while. And then I took up a part-time position as a radio street team member.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what that is, it's basically like anytime you go to like a concert or a bar and you see like a radio station there or like a beer sponsor there, basically that's what we were doing. And so I worked for three different radio stations. There was a sports station, a rock station, and a political station. And the political station didn't have very many events, as you could probably tell. And then I got promoted to do that. The manager of that, I was there for 3 years, and then there was a merger and I got let go. And then I was, I took a job up in long-term health insurance, which is something that I've never dreamed of doing, but it pays the bills and that's what we do now.
What a dream.
Oh yeah.
All right. So we are all going over to patreon.com/newageinsiders now. And again, thank you so much for listening and putting up with us and letting us all kind of hang out there because we care about this so, so much. And we've all worked so, so hard. We've put so much into this countless hours. And it's just like, if you like what you hear and you can want to support us, you can do it on twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. You can subscribe. You can go to patreon.com/newageinsiders right after these shows. We do a live stream where we keep the fun going. There's 5 a month, and every single day we do fun stuff with you guys. We really hope that you think what we do is worth it. 2018 was just not where we were going to be in 2019, and we move forward from there. And we thank you so much for listening and telling your friends. And we appreciate it. And the new format starts next week. There will be wrestling. There will be more.
It's not going away.
Right. It's just going to be...
Remember that.
It's just going to be an even more... fun, diverse show, and we hope you guys come along for the ride. We appreciate all of you. Next week, too, we will announce our Hall of Fame. We kind of wanted this wasn't the night for it. So next week, we'll do our Hall of Fame. Tomorrow night is the third edition of Know You're Crazy, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV.
And then Avengers Endgame.
And then we're going to the Avengers.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, we're going to probably release a spoiler-free show at some point this weekend.
Yeah, about that. That'll be fun, too. Shout out to Jamie and Scotty and Rich, to DC and Doc, to everybody out there listening and being awesome and amazing people. As we take our next step, we thank you so much for making us the premier place for fans of all kinds to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.